Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I did something that threw Tony into a total panic. I changed my flight because there was a flight leaving. Like, do you remember that?
What are you doing?
At 10 o'clock
you
in the morning.
Fly with me.
As opposed to the flight that was leaving at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Right, you're like, okay,
and
get out.
I'm sorry, you want to get out of there
yes.
early because there are 5 million members of the media behind you. So I convinced him.
Complete betrayal, I felt.
To get on that
so
flight.
So he changed, and he was willing, he changed
he changed
as well.
I had written all my things down.
So
I had prepared
yes.
my talismans
throws
and amulets.
Off the ritual.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter on an overcast day, but no rain at the moment, which is shocking. We'll get to the rain totals in a little bit. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will produce the show, run the board, do the news. I'm here, and that's sort of an upset because I did not work PTI yesterday. I'll get into this whole thing later, but I have not been well for 2 or 3 days, and I hope I'm a little bit better now. You don't need too much information, but I've not been far enough away from a bathroom to make any sense.
And that's too much information.
It's been bad. We have a Monday evening podcast. We will do the show here tomorrow, Friday morning. We will not do a show on Monday morning. We will do a Monday evening podcast at 6:15 or 6:30 in anticipation of the national championship game. Gift cards are available. Call Chatter. Ask for Ron. If Ron's not here, ask for any other manager. But we're trying to sell some gift cards. Trying to keep this place in business, actually.
What if I wanted to have a party here? You guys
we could have
parties.
And then, again, call Chatter, ask for Ron. If Ron's not here, he asks for the manager on duty.
You get a T-shirt, and you get a T-shirt, and you get a T-shirt.
Yeah. So last
at
night...
At full price.
Last night, I had nothing to do but take pills and drink water.
Welcome to my life.
That's all I could do is take pills and drink water. And I slept a lot yesterday, but I woke up for the evening, and I wanted to watch the Washington Wizards without John Wall because I thought they would win without John Wall. Now, to be fair, they played a very bad team. The Atlanta Hawks are a very
yes.
bad team.
Well, they're comparable to the Wizards.
They're even worse than the Wizards.
But to Michael's point, only marginally so. I mean, they're
worse, neck and neck in the standings.
They have 11 wins, and I think the Wizards now have 15.
Do they have 15?
Yes.
I think that was the 15th win.
So without John Wall, they had 29 assists. Without John Wall, their scoring was much more balanced than it usually is. Thomas Satoransky, by the way, those of you around the country don't get the Wizards broadcast. I will just tell you this. Carol Lawson.
She's great.
She's really good.
Yeah.
She's really good, Carol Lawson. Anyway, Thomas Satoransky, who basically doesn't play. When John Wall plays, Satoransky plays 10 or 11 minutes.
Like Brady's backup.
Satoransky had 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. That's very good. Otto Porter came
one
back
turnover,
to the lineup.
One turnover.
One turnover is like 5 less than Wall. Yeah. Otto Porter came back to the lineup, didn't do much. Their interesting player is their center, who I'd never heard of until this year, a guy named Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant does something. Now, they have a center in waiting. They have a center who costs them, I don't know, $20 million, Dwight Howard, who has a fancy resume but has never won anything. Dwight Howard hasn't played in a while because he has a bad can. And they had to operate on it, on his bad can.
It's a bad
and
can.
Maybe he'll get back, and maybe he won't. But here's what Dwight Howard never does for you. He never makes a foul shot when you need it. He's a terrible foul shooter. This guy, Thomas Bryant, had 16 points and 15 rebounds and was 6 for 6 from the line. He's an 84% foul shooter, which is really high for anybody and absurdly high for a center because those guys are traditionally not good foul shooters. Who is Thomas Bryant?
Thomas Bryant, I
Where
believe,
did he come from?
Left Indiana.
Yes, after 1 year.
After 1 year.
I have no familiarity with him whatsoever.
He's been a nice development here as of late. Just before Christmas, the game against Phoenix.
He missed a shot.
Yeah. Set an NBA record going 14 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 3 from the line.
By the way, doesn't take 30-footers.
He's like a 70% shooter.
He's
or
a
high
young,
60s.
He's a
anyway.
Young athletic kid. He was born, I just looked this up. I want to see how old he was. He was born in 1997.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's 21.
Oh, yeah, 21.
You know, I mean, so Can we just end the whole Dwight Howard thing
Stop.
Now?
What do you mean?
Don't play him.
Play this
when
kid
when he is healthy. Let the play kid play. Kid. They're not going to be any good.
Right. Play this kid. In other things, I don't think that the Wizards will win every game without John Wall. That would be crazy. But they are a different team without John Wall. They are a more egalitarian team without John Wall. They're not particularly better or worse. They're different. They're sort of fun to watch.
You mentioned 29 assists last night, which is a nice number. Not a huge number.
No, it's not. They've had 40 without John Wall.
But they had 11 assists on their first 15 baskets.
Yeah.
It was they
came out.
Again,
they're playing a bad team. Atlanta's a bad team.
Did you just tone quickly before you move on from the NBA?
NBA. Okay. Paul George last night got booed in Los Angeles. This is pretty interesting. Paul George had talked and talked and talked. I'm a not Paul George fan with his ridiculous nickname Playoff P, where he's terrible in the playoffs. He has never made a shot, an important shot in his life. He's one of the most overrated
makes
players.
A money shot in that commercial.
Yeah, only in the commercial. One of the most overrated players ever. But Paul George had said, I want to go back to L.A. I'm from Southern California. I want to go to L.A. This is sort of what the kid in Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, has said as well. Russell Westbrook never said that. He's also from Southern California and went to UCLA. He's never said that. So Paul George was booed last night in L.A. Paul George had 37 points. He got the last laugh. They beat the Lakers last night. He had 37. Gordon Hayward had 35 off the bench. Boston played without Kyrie Irving, who was out wondering how we could have gotten to the moon since the earth is flat, how that could have happened. Boston beat Minnesota. Joel Embiid had 42 and 18, and he took that as a personal challenge to beat Deontay, what's his name?
Ayton.
Ayton, DeAndre
Ayton. And they were ahead by...
Yeah, they won by a million. They won by a million. Joel Embiid had 17 of 19 from the free throw line.
Wow.
Yep.
17 of 19.
He's
you know that
basketball.
When Will Chamberlain scored 100 points, he shot something like, you should look this up, something like 24 for 28 from the foul line. He was the worst foul shooter of all time. And the other news I wanted to say was Anthony Davis, and they lost.
That's what I wanted to...
Anthony Davis had 34 and 26, and they lost to the Nets, who are a little bit better lately.
Yes, they're improved. Yep.
Anthony Davis, he is wasting away in Margaritaville. You got to get Anthony Davis. Am I right, Chris?
100%.
You got to get... I mean, LeBron's right.
He's...
I mean, put him on a better team.
Absolutely.
He is... I mean, I always still default that LeBron is the best player.
He is.
But I would take, after LeBron, I think I would take Anthony Davis.
Over Kevin
Curry
Durant?
And Durant. I would.
Really, I wouldn't.
Now, the question is, could he do it on a team that is elite like the Warriors? But think of it. He's 24?
He has not complained, by the way. He's not publicly complained.
He's a 6'11 kid who can shoot,
and jump.
Dribble,
he does
pass.
Everything. Everyone makes a big deal about the Greek freak, and justifiably so. I think Anthony Davis is a slightly better player at the moment.
I
do.
Gosh, well, Giannis cannot. I don't know if you watch any Bucks games. I have the NBA pass or whatever it's called. So I watch them. And to Gary's point, he cannot shoot. Really,
you can teach yourself to shoot.
Now he
but
can
I'm just
dunk
saying,
from the 3-point line. So I don't know
today,
if it matters.
But. Today. He, from 18 feet, is a very mixed bag, whereas Anthony Davis
He's
is a
really
much
good.
More polished player.
He's
I mean,
really
I'd
good.
Say the same thing, by the way. Ben Simmons can't shoot from the foul line in and is probably a top 15 player, so who knows, but I think Anthony Davis is, if not the second best, the third best player, probably behind Durant.
Man, he's averaging 28.7, 13.4
what is their
rebounds,
record? It's
4.
Terrible.
4.
It's, their record is
They're
terrible.
Under 500. He said today he's very frustrated. By the way, just
17-22. A little bit better than your Washington Wizards.
And the coach of that team is still, if I'm not mistaken, the guy who came from Phoenix...
Alvin Gentry?
Yeah, he's still the coach of that team. It's 4 years. They don't do anything.
No, they don't.
Here's
By
Wilt's...
the way, in the NBA, in the NFL, other than Jay Gruden, if you don't do anything in 4 years, you're out.
Well, because in the NFL, within a four-year period, everybody has won a division. Right. It's not the NBA. Right.
Tone, just to close the loop. Wilt's line in his 100-point game, he was 36 for 63 from the field. He was 28 for 32 from the
it's
line.
It's the best line of his life.
100 points, 25 rebounds. Guy Rogers, by the way, had 20 assists in that game. Probably most of them
to Wilt.
To Wilt.
Probably to Wilt. Everybody, by the way, thinks that game was played in Philadelphia. It was played in Hershey Park, Pennsylvania. Right? It was not played in Philadelphia. I just felt I would open with the NBA.
Sonny was in the stands for that, wasn't he? Sonny Jurgensen?
Is that right?
Really? I think there's some story that Sonny
maybe that's true.
Somehow
maybe
involved that's true.
Final score of that game, by the way. The Knicks, the Warriors, Philadelphia Warriors won, had 169. Knicks, 147. So it was a lot of high scoring affair.
A lot of scoring. So the Wizards closed it out at 20-4.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what happens to John Wall, except that he gets paid a lot of money. I don't want to diminish him as a player. He's a very, very good player. Most teams would want him. It just hasn't worked here.
And to be clear...
And then you have, like... Do you remember when the Cheese Boy... I will certainly name the Cheese Boy. The Cheese Boy, for years, wrote, "We are wasting John Wall's grit." He slurped John Wall like nobody, like the chocolate fountain at Golden Corral. Nobody'd ever seen it.
Delicious.
He just loved John Wall.
But it's not unlike... And
but John Wall really didn't make the others better... He was the king of game six.
Well, you talk about Anthony Davis. I'm not suggesting Wall's that transcendent of a player, but it's a similar situation. I mean, Wall is a guy who could get somewhere and do very well. He's an excellent player.
At another team, John Wall could be part of a championship.
Right.
At another team.
So Davis for Wall, straight up then.
I would say another big difference is between them, though, is Anthony Davis, if New Orleans saw fit, could be traded to virtually any other team.
That's right.
Who would take him. The John Wall problem is he's not the transcendent player who helps you, who is the lead guy on a championship team, but you also cannot get rid of him to other teams for what you would call like value.
I think any team in the league would have taken him prior to this contract.
Yeah.
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 But now
you can't.
Lonzo Ball, we're still here.
Let's take a break. Come back. Chuck Todd is going to pick games for us when we return.
Yes, that's right.
Chuck's record over the course of the year is 60-49-3. We're giving him these games. We're forcing him to pick these games. It's pretty good. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Quip ad, and option one or option two I can pick today because it's early in the new year. I'm going to pick option one because I haven't read option one yet.
Go with number one.
The new year means new resolutions, and we've got one you're working on twice a day. It's your oral health. With a Quip electric toothbrush, sticking to good habits is simple. The guiding features are like a built-in support system for better brushing. You have sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums, because people brush too hard and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. You have a built-in 2-minute timer which pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides to help you clean your whole mouth evenly, because 90% of us, or up to 90% of us, don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. You have a multi-use cover which works at a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go, because it'll declutter your sink or your cabinet, makes traveling with an electric toothbrush easier. Plus, there are no wires or a clunky charger, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. Now, this gets me into that netherworld of my life
that
I don't really understand how something can be considered electric if it's never plugged into anything electric.
There's electricity coursing through your body at all times, Tom.
I don't really understand this. But in any case, I love Quip, and it's why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That is your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Brock Babcock of Lawrence, Kansas, writing to us. Thanks to you and the gang for what is simply the best podcast out there. My brother Brett is currently serving in the U.S. Army overseas in one of the Koreas.
Thank you.
I'd appreciate it if you mention that too. I will. This is early in the morning, and this is by Brock Babcock, who says he wrote, recorded, and owned this music and gives you permission to use it on the show, which we appreciate very much. Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck Todd had a very weird card the last time we did this segment, which was 2 weeks ago, in the sense that we give him 7 games every week. We choose the games. This week it's obvious because they're just playoff games. But we gave him 7. He won the first 4 and he lost the last 3. Not that they were played, you know, in that order, but it was just the order that we gave Chuck, and Chuck's record overall is 60-49-3. So if you bet blindly with Chuck Todd, you'd be making money. Going into the playoffs, is there anything you'd like to tell the people out there about the year you've had? Because it would seem to me, that you should be justifiably proud about what you've done.
Well, I have to have something to be happy about in 2018. Everything else was a disaster. So, you know, to fact that, you know, forget Meet the Press, forget my career at NBC, to know that I can correctly pick NFL games better than a monkey, I think it's better than an Emmy.
Takes a little of the pressure off at work.
I would tell you this, that there was a period of time when Gabe Kaplan was a television star of consequence, and then he decided to become a gambler. And he's been a professional gambler for 30 years.
Mr. Cutter?
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
I'll be honest. We joke about I would if I thought I could legitimately figure out how to do this for actually set spreads for I've always said you could set spreads for elections all over the world all the time.
Yeah.
Or I would quit and do this for sports. I love the data, I love the numbers, I love all that stuff. I could easily see, you know, when I end my career someday, my respectable career someday on this podcast, perhaps I can go into that as a career.
Chuck, isn't there some outfit out of, I want to say, Iowa that I've read about that does the handicapping?
There's
of the
a
election?
Few.
Some markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they do markets.
Futures or something, right?
It's more futures.
Yeah.
And okay. Ethically, news futures has always been something I'm actually uncomfortable with, yeah. right? It's sort of like, and even on politics, as much as we joke about it, perhaps gambling on elections, if you actually made that legal, you know, vote fraud.
Well, you don't want to do that because then people might get into trying to fix them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Foreign countries.
Yeah. Well, you don't want that. Exactly.
All right, let's go to the games, and we'll give them to you in the order that they're going to be played. I point out again that if you ever wonder, are these things television shows? The AFC games that nobody wants to see are the early games both days, and the late games have Dallas and Chicago and Philadelphia. So that's what that's about. Let's start with
Dick Ebersole. Just laugh every time this happens, and how he just finagled the NFL into giving ESPN the worst deal ever.
The worst deal of all time. Didn't even have playoffs for about 7 years, and now get the worst of the playoffs. And NBC gets
we'll give
the
you
best.
One crappy. Wild card
yes.
game.
Yes.
It'll be up against the East-West Shrine game. Anyway.
Yeah. No, you're right. Everybody at ESPN knows this. All right, we'll start with Indianapolis at Houston. They've played each other twice already this year, I assume, since they're in the same division. I don't know the results.
They split 3-point games okay. both times.
Indianapolis on the road getting 1.5 at Houston.
You know, obviously, this means neutral site. That we're saying the Colts are better than Texans, and that's something I have a hard time believing.
Right.
Right? I feel like, to the Texans' credit, they've been playing playoff football for, what, 8 straight weeks in some ways, right? They've played with that because they started off so poorly. Same with the Colts. I hate this game in that it's, I think, this hard to pick because Andrew Luck feels like the better quarterback to bet with. I'm going to take the Texans at home only because I feel like that 1 point is a disrespect, and there's some value there.
Unbelievable stat I read yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins, 115 catches, over 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, 0 drops on the season.
Houston wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's really good. Here's a 1.5-point game as well. Seattle is at Dallas. Seattle is getting 1.5. You can look at Dallas under a microscope. And it's hard to see a great team. It is hard to see a great team. Who do you like in this?
You know, this is a game where you feel like you got to go to the coaches. And Pete Carroll, you know, what does he do in the playoffs? And what does Jason Garrett do in the playoffs? So I like the road team here. I don't love it, but I think I'll take Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll over Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott. There's just something about who would you trust to win one playoff game?
Pete Carroll.
And it's an elimination game.
The two hottest teams in the league right now, I believe, are the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck and the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson. The Los Angeles Chargers, which looked for all the world like a really good team, didn't do well at the end of the season. They are forced to go all across the country and play at 10 in the morning on their body clocks against a very hot team with a very hard quarterback to defend. Not that he's a great passer, but he does both run and pass successfully without getting hurt. You get 2.5, and I'm a little bit surprised at this. That seems like a little bit more than I thought. 2.5 if you like the Chargers.
I think it's already back at 3. But,
is it? Okay.
You know, you have a feeling that the team that wins this game is actually the team that's going to win the AFC. I just, for some reason, I like both of these teams. I wish they weren't playing each other because they both seem like they have some sort of charm to go with them here. I'm struggling. Here's my problem with the Chargers, even though I want to bet with Philip Rivers. You brought up the cross country.
Yep.
First-year coach who has made some questionable decisions late in games, although they've won late games. They have this history, it seems, of blowing games with field goals or their kicking game. And you say to yourself, who's got the better kicker, the Ravens?
Oh, much better.
Who's got the more experienced coach, Harbaugh? Even though I hate betting on a rookie quarterback of the playoff, I guess I'm going to go with the Ravens because I just feel like the Chargers are going to blow this. They're going to blow this in some way. A field goal, messed up timing, because that's who they are.
I would have given you 3 if you took the Chargers, just so you know. But it's better to get the 2.5 if you're going to take
Baltimore.
The last game is the big market game, the biggest market game. Philadelphia is at Chicago, and Philadelphia is getting 6. And that's a pretty big number because if you look at Chicago, if you look at them right now, they look like a pretty good team. But at the beginning of this year, nobody, not even Wilbon, would have had Chicago in this particular position.
Wilbon's surprised, you're saying.
Yeah, and the Eagles, if you talk about Houston playing playoff football, the Eagles have had to been – they really have played playoff football for at least the last 4 weeks, I believe. That's a fairly big number, Philadelphia plus 6. But it's Nick Foles.
I don't get the number.
Yeah.
I don't get that big of a number. I don't understand why.
Neither do I.
So I love it. I love the Eagles here. I mean, if you're the Bears, don't you hate that you have to play the Eagles and Nick Foles?
Yes.
Isn't this the worst? I mean, you'd rather play the Rams or the Saints right now than you would the Eagles, I think. Maybe the Bears bring the fog machine back. They win a game, playoff game like that against the Eagles with a bunch of fog.
Yeah, but wasn't that in Philadelphia? Wasn't that game in Philadelphia?
Thought it was Chicago.
Was it
actually
in Chicago? Okay.
You remember?
All right.
I thought that was in Chicago.
Yeah, all right. It was. Fog Bowl.
But yeah, I like the Eagles.
Okay.
Give me all those points. Yeah, all right. That's a lot of points.
I'm going to give you one more opportunity to get 6 points, and that is the national championship game. Clemson is getting 6 against Alabama. This is in California. And next Monday night, Clemson plus 6. Who do you like?
Only because I do think that, I mean, how do you play a team 4 straight years and do anything other than if you beat them, you're barely going to beat them. I'll take Clemson in the points. It feels like that spread is exactly right. It's like you wouldn't, if it were any less, you'd be like, oh my God, I can bet that much on Alabama. But this game goes into overtime, then it's the margin's 3 or 6. So this feels exactly right. Alabama on paper slightly better, but I feel like the rematch factor, you go with the team that's probably a little hungrier, and that's Clemson.
Are you interested in this game? Do you have any sense of fatigue and any sense of regionalism where you go, you know what, I don't care anymore?
I hear it from people that aren't real college football fans. You hear that a lot. Oh, those two again.
Yeah.
I am curious to see. I wanted to see how Saban would handle Oklahoma's offense. That was, and I think he proved, these are the two best. I love college football. I want to see the University of Miami get back to being Alabama again. I'm tired of now sounding like what Alabama fans sounded like when I was a bit, when Miami was winning, and I'd hear from Alabama fans, be like, yeah, that's Bear Bryant, right? Now I feel like one of those whiny fans, but I'm interested in this game to see what does it take to become one of these teams.
Surprised?
So I am, but I,
Are you surprised Mark Richt quit?
The best two.
They are the best. No, this is like Golden State and Cleveland. No, they are the best.
You want to see the best.
Yeah.
So as a sports fan, the Mark Richt thing, he didn't want to fire his son. He was told he had to fire the entire offensive staff, and firing the offensive staff also included firing the quarterback's coach, whose last name was Richt. And you know,
which Manny Diaz did yesterday.
Yes.
Fired the entire offensive staff.
You know, my wife and I talked about this. You know, you think about the football coach, and Tony, you probably know this. You probably see this. You've witnessed this. Football coaches probably have this huge guilty conscience as a parent, right? Because they're not there for their kids. And so they'll do whatever it takes for them to get their career. And that's why I think you see so many fathers bring their sons into the sport, because it's a way to spend time with them when they couldn't spend time with them in other ways. So I get the difficulty of something like that. And I don't think that any father should be put in that position, but I think that's the position that Richt might have been put in.
Do you think he'll coach anywhere again? Because he's a good coach.
You know, it seems like these guys never want to stop coaching. I never thought Mac – I spent a little bit of time with Mac Brown. I thought Mac Brown was done. So if Mac Brown's coming back, Mark Richt's 56. Mark Richt will be coaching. Maybe he'll be coaching in Boca Raton at FAU. Maybe he'll be coaching at
Dolphins. UCF.
Maybe he'll be coaching. You know, maybe exactly.
Wouldn't even have to move.
These guys, they're addicted to it, right? They love it that much. They can't stop.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, guys.
Chuck Todd is the host of Meet the Press. I have great pride every week in saying he's the host of Meet the Press, and we never ask him a single political question.
Just thought he was
it
in
makes
Vegas
me happy. If we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be enough. But we do more.
You see the monkey, he's scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple.
Everybody sing along.
Sorry, Nigel.
What happened?
This was supposed to be done 3 months ago. Hit it.
He's going to pick three games this week. It is KG says geek. That's Chip for take the points at home. He knows how to speak into his phone. A pick of him playing bocce ball with Al McRae and Dante Hall. Says bet the Chiefs to win it all. Navigating fatherhood with alcohol.
We need Johnny Walker Blue and some poo.
There you go. A new jingle from Robert Berg. We like that.
It included...
Is that the Diane Kruger effect singing?
Yeah.
It included my favorite bit, which is just a random Tony line.
Yes.
It's a monkey.
Exactly.
So what happened? Because the zoo's closed.
Well, as you know, the zoo is
closed. It's
closed. Because of the
shutdown. No national zoo.
I had worked this out with Reginald.
I mean, there is a national zoo, but you can't go.
Well, I said, would you like to stay with me? And he said, yes.
So he's living with you?
He said yes.
Well, you know, in the way he does.
Right.
Unfortunately, he also brought along his girlfriend, Matilda the Naked Mole Rat.
Yes.
Yeah. All their kids, which is like 15 kids.
Too many.
He also brought an ocelot, three lemurs, a lynx, couple of llamas and a whole bunch of fruit bats. So it's a very chaotic scene in my flat right now.
You
but
do not want to get sideways.
He's
with
had a rough
bat.
Year.
He has.
He was 1-2 last week. He's 18-29-1.
He is taking every single game this week that's on the card.
Okay.
He's trying
Sleepy
to get back.
Eyes.
Yes. First game we gave him was Indy getting 1.5 at Houston. He revealed to me that he was the one that performed the surgery on Andrew Luck.
There you go.
So clearly he has ties with the Colts. He will take the Colts with the 1.5. Next game was...
What would we do? I think Andrew Luck has been really good.
I'm taking Houston. I like their defense and the home field.
The next game was Dallas at home, giving 1.5 to Seattle. And this was a nice picture of him whitewater rafting with Everson Wolves, Danny White, and Drew Pearson.
Wow.
So clearly he's got Everson ties. The old Cowboys.
You know,
so.
I don't think Seattle is a good team. I really honestly don't think they're a good team, but I do think they're used to this more than Dallas.
Yes.
I think Pete Carroll knows how to do this.
I agree with Chuck on that.
Chuck's point about Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott versus Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson is troubling if you're a Giants, Dallas fan.
Yes. Yeah. Then we gave him the Chargers getting 2.5 at Baltimore. Apparently, he showed me some clippings. He's dating one of the Kardashians now.
Is
Reginald
that right?
is.
I had seen that online.
Yes, and he also is going to be the host of the Oscars this year. So he's got
somebody.
Big ties to LA. Yeah. He'll take the Chargers. We gave him Philly getting 6. And this is a picture of him singing Take Me Out to the Bowl Game at Wrigley with Harry Carey. It's got to be about 25 years
One,
ago.
Yeah, so
he'll take the not the Cubs, he'll take the Bears in that.
He would take the Cubs. Yeah.
And then I don't know if you know this. You know the famous hat that Bear Bryant used to wear?
The houndstooth hat. Yeah.
There's a picture and a sales receipt. Reginald purchased that hat for him way back
when.
Yeah, so he's responsible for that hat. Clearly has ties to Alabama. He will take Alabama and give the
six. That is just fantastic. We will take a break. When we come back, we will have news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is, I say this all the time, that this is my favorite ad, the Lowe's ad, and it is because I wish I could do these things.
Yes.
I wish I was a worker man. I wish I had some knowledge of power tools. I wish I could do these things. I don't. I'm pathetic.
You have the ability to call somebody to do these things.
Yet. I can call somebody. Yes. But if I could write an ad that I could believe in, this would be the ad. Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Mm. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system. So it works with all tools in their V20 lineup, and it gives you the runtime you need and the power you deserve. The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. V20 brushless power tools are all proudly made in the USA.
I'm all in.
Global materials. They're made in Charlotte, North Carolina. All have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all your projects. You, the listener, can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Little white bird, high up in the tree. Wings full grown, but still not ready to leave.
Jim Bernstein of Cedar Rapids, Iowa writes, I've been waiting for just the right moment to say and do the latest song from Raised by Tigers, the New York City-based band whose fiddle player, James Letty, a Binghamton grad, as you may recall from my previous submission, is the boyfriend of my second child, a feminine child. And the moment came Wednesday in the form of my first ever David Aldridge moment when you played a song by Dan Byrne. Dan grew up right here in Cedar Rapids and returns to play in intimate venues here once a year, at least once a year. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage, and I never miss an opportunity to come and listen to Dan when he performs. We own a lot of his music. We strongly recommend people see his show when he comes to their towns. He's one of our favorites. And oh, by the way, so is Raised by Tigers. So please enjoy the band's latest, which is Little White Bird. Michael, if bands like Raised by Tigers or artists like Dan Byrne want to submit their music to the show, which we will play in its entirety at the end of the show, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiserShow.com. I sort of thought Saliza would join in on the whistling.
I do love a good whistle in a song. This is the kind of music that I like. It's, good lyrically driven, acoustic, really like it.
And lots of whistling.
And
we have a Binghamton guy who's a great whistler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's a world champion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, he's a world champion.
There's a guy named Josh Ritter who I love, a wonderful musician who is like a decorated whistler. Same kind of thing. Like a guy who like is like semi-professional. Oh, no. Wrong guy. Andrew Bird. Sorry. Another artist I like a semi-professional whistler.
So this is
a decorated whistler and a
semi-pro.
Semi-pro.
It's a pro league.
Semi-pro whistler.
So
you never made it to the big.
A lot of people whistle, right? It's sort of a natural thing. I cannot whistle, but a lot of people whistle.
At all?
I cannot
Neither
whistle
can
at
my
all.
Wife.
I cannot whistle at all. But I appreciate whistling. Here's something that is stunning. Bobby Tannenbaum, who is in the Lerner family, who is married to Marla Lerner, who's one of the people on, running the Nats, Bobby Tannenbaum. Mm-hmm. He can yodel. And he can yodel.
How do you acquire that skill?
Yodel. He told me when he was growing up, something he knew Ricola. Somebody. He knew somebody who was in an orchestra. Essentially a German, maybe a German umpa band or something like that.
Germans.
And he asked if that guy could teach him to yodel. He could stand up there in the Lederhosen. If you get a birdie,
with
if you are playing with Bob Tannenbaum, He will yodel. It's fantastic. Really?
That's cool. Well, has he tried yodeling for Harper yet?
He has no. He should yodel for Harper.
Yodeling and auctioneering are two things that I'm very interested in. You know, the like, hey, this is another two stuff. Like being a professional auctioneer.
Yeah,
there's a guy in Congress named Billy Long who's a professional auctioneer, and they like roll him out every once in a while, and he like auctions. I don't know what you call that.
You got to talk really fast, and there's a certain cadence.
C1, A2, and A2. It's basically that. I'm basically a professional.
By the way, Dan Byrne, who we played a number of his songs on the show, he's also an artist, and he did this sketch of you and Wilbon.
It doesn't really look like us.
Well,
did you say David Byrne?
Dan Byrne.
Talking Head.
Yeah, I mean, he's wonderful at his singing, but it doesn't really look like
us. That's just two stick figures.
It's also a bad print job. We need to get more toner.
I don't look like that, and neither does Mike. Or maybe I look like Mike.
I can't tell which one's which. Is that problematic?
Which is which?
Nigel, you have the news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and we shall start off with college basketball.
We made SportsCenter again.
35-22 at the half at the Dr. Bailey Court. Looked like the Bearcats were dead in the water.
Oh, you were down?
Oh, we were down?
Oh, yeah. 35-22 at the half.
To Columbia.
When the potatoes sprouted?
Good school.
No, this was not a big game.
They always called Harper the ninth Ivy.
The big potato.
Sham.
Caleb Stewart had 5 rebounds and 14 points, but it was Sam the Sham Sessoms that had the big game. Led all players with 25 points.
Great.
7 of 9 from 3-point.
That's great.
And I believe it was he that hit a shot, hit a 3-pointer with about 9 seconds left.
We were tied. Yes. We were looking for OT against Columbia. Oh.
Yes, but then somebody by the name of Stefanini hit a shot at the buzzer. And so Columbia
Gabe
wins.
Stefanini.
Yeah, 65-63. And if you're looking for a reason why the Bearcats lost this game, look no further than the free throw line. Just
terrible.
3 of 10.
Terrible.
Oh, everybody out
this
there today
like the
shooting
Michigan
free
game.
Throws. Yes.
Sad. It's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. We are now 4-11.
Yes.
We are 2-11
D1. Good.
Yes.
2-11.
Not the worst.
Oh,
4-11.
Not the worst.
I'm sorry.
Not the worst.
Still undefeated in league play, though.
Yes, because we have not had any league games.
Well, technically,
we have 16 league games coming up, and
16-0.
I hope
you were going to beat up on that league.
I hope that's true.
Oh yeah. When you lose a game like this, this is what really, you know, this is where the things are. Championships.
I was
are made.
Rooting for us.
Well, the Sham is cooking.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
what Sam, else you got? Sam the Sham.
Can I mention that I was going around the dial last night again with nothing particular to do but wait to go to the bathroom.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And I turned in. I was on 856. And it was BU against American at American. And David Aldridge was doing the color.
Oh,
so
cool.
I watched and listened for a while to David.
Nice.
They pulled away by the end of the first half.
Yes.
American won. American won sort of comfortably. I thought there was nobody in the stands. I mean, nobody.
Well, the kids are away.
I assume
the Maryland game, it was pretty
nobody.
Empty.
The Binghamton game, there were very few people there.
Yeah.
I assume that this is because the students are still on break. Because
right.
At AU, on the shot where the camera was...
Yes.
It was a wide open blue seating. There was nobody.
By the way,
there.
For Gary's Maryland, I will give a shout out. Very good win.
I watched the last 3 minutes of that game.
Very good win.
And a guy named Jalen Smith hit the last two shots.
Yep. Including I think he had the last 7 points.
Including the floater. Yeah. The floater at the end.
Is it true what I heard that this was their first win against a ranked team since February of 2016?
Exactly right, when they beat the Purdue Boilermakers.
What is Nebraska's
right,
ranked like 23 or something?
They were 24.
I will tell you that the Big Ten is a pretty good basketball conference, and so they get a lot of teams that are ranked, and they go in and out of the rankings.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a very good win for Maryland. Georgetown, this is a very good win.
We look good.
I mean, at Butler.
And I know most people did not watch the game, and I won't spend a lot of time on it.
I didn't know where it was on. I didn't know
it
where.
It was on Fox Sports Net or something. I found it using like a search tool on my TV.
It was actually on Showtime.
Yeah, it was, oddly. It was on public television. Very briefly, Mack McClung, the freshman kid from Gate City, Virginia, who can jump and scored 38 points.
He's out,
and
right?
He's hurt, so he didn't play. But the kid, a kid who is a transfer. Greg Malinowski is a senior transfer from William & Mary. He's from Chantilly, but from William & Mary, had 28. I think he was
26.
I think he was 6 for 7, Nigel, from three.
Yep, that's right.
They were in control the entire game. They started to collapse a little bit in the last 3 or 4 minutes. They were actually up about 16 with 3 minutes left. And Hinkle Fieldhouse is a tough place. I know Butler's not as good as they have been, but
they're still good.
They looked
good. Georgetown
is
13-3. I mean, when Patrick Ewing got that job, I thought, I have no particular confidence in him. He's going to schedule really easy, so he'll pad his record, and then he'll get killed in the Big East. Last year, he did better than I thought in the Big East.
Yeah.
This year, they look pretty good. 13-3
I on this show
11-3
Yeah. But I on this show said I wanted someone outside of the Georgetown family when they fired John Thompson III, and Ewing was not that. I said last year he did better, to your point, Tone, than I thought.
Yeah.
Look, they at least don't play a 1952 offense anymore. It's a game that is not painful to watch, and I give them credit. And they have some young talent.
They're doing
we'll see.
What else? What is our other news?
We have a lot of news. The hockey All-Star game will be going on in San Jose later this month.
Go ahead.
Alex Ovechkin was... Is it San Jose? I'm sorry. I get that wrong with your language all the time. Yeah. Ovechkin was voted in as the captain of the Metropolitan Division. And has said, I'm going to take the extra rest. The league's All-Star break bleeds into the Caps bye week, which will give him more than a week off. He said, first of all, thanks for all the fans who voted for me.
What the hell with you?
I know
I'm not going to play.
I know it's a tough decision, obviously. I'd like to be a part of all the events, but
but he doesn't.
I think that the time of the year and my age, we decided to take a one-week break. It's hard, but it's better for me.
People who listen to this show know that during that playoff run last year, I thought Alex Ovechkin was great.
He was.
I thought it was the culmination of his career. I didn't care how many places, how many continents he got drunk in afterwards. I thought he deserved all of that. And I've always had high opinions of Alex Ovechkin and the way he conducts himself in the area, in Washington. You can't do this. You were voted captain of the squad. You can't just take these days off. You're not playing hard in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Go to San Jose for
traveling.
A couple of
may
days.
May I take the other side to this?
Sure, because I think it stinks.
So let's say that he, as he normally does, loses in the first or second round. So he's now lost a total of 5 to 7 weeks, depending on when you see that exit strategy, if it's middle of May to Pittsburgh or late April to the Blue Jackets, I believe. The issue here is he has back-to-back games leading into that All-Star weekend, including a day before he has his final home game, he would actually be in San Jose already. So you're doing that back-and-forth travel. He's done this. This would be his 11th time. I'm okay. I view the All-Star game as value-added to the sport and to the league. And what he did in that late summer run was more value-added than really anyone has done in recent memory for that sport, just in terms of the goodwill and the cheer.
And I think it's incredible arrogance on his part, because this is a showcase and you can rest. I mean, you can rest. You have 8 or 9 days off. No, not for me. What about you?
He doesn't
guys?
Have 8 or 9 days off.
I can't take issue with anything he does. I mean, he's going to miss a game. It's a mandatory one-game suspension.
I think this is public relations for the sport. I just think it's a mistake. Yeah.
I agree with you that it's a bad look for the sport. But I mean, after what that guy did for this city, it's good.
But this is a better look than, say, coming up with a fake injury and not getting out in front of it weeks in advance
and saying,
here's where I am. I appreciate the support, but this is what I need for my body and for my team to compete again.
I struggle to muster any real outrage. I just don't care. The one thing I'd say is, let's say the All-Star game was in Washington, and he's like, I'm going to sit it out. No, that's one thing. But to me,
you know.
And I had the travel wrong. He's starting in D.C. and then moving to Toronto before San Jose, but that's still, you know, what he needs.
He's got to fly across country.
The league doesn't like this. If the league liked it, they wouldn't penalize you a game
he's accepting that penalty.
After this, they might change that penalty.
Make it bigger.
It's not punitive.
Yeah, with a
higher
profile player. No, we need you guys.
What else?
Did Strasburg, did he also say with the All-Star game that I'm not going or something like that a couple years ago?
No idea.
Was he in it?
Yeah, I know he was in it.
I won't be attending.
Well, speaking of the Nationals, Bryce Harper has still not signed with anybody yet. Apparently, the Chicago White Sox are unwilling to go beyond a 6 or 7 year deal. Of course, the deal that is
on. Why would he sign with the Chicago White Sox?
Well, probably not for the
sign
6 or 7 years.
Cash money.
Cash, homie.
So he has not yet made a decision. And through some reports, the only team to have known to make a formal offer is still the Nationals.
That's right.
And he's still in communication with them. So for you big fans of the team out there, it's still not out of the question that he will return to Washington next year. Manny Machado has said that he will make an announcement sometime in the new year, which could be July for all we know.
Could be now. What should worry you,
though, is Boris is going straight to the Lerner family, which is the correct path and what he normally does.
Right.
But that means he thinks he can get the heart pull and get even more money on that back end. Or you just have ownership who's friendly with them saying, we'll stay in talks just to drive up the price somewhere else and to help you guys out because that market has sizzled a little bit more than we thought it would.
And one thing I'll add, I didn't realize this, but I heard somewhere they were talking about how free agency has changed that, you know, 10 years ago, let's say, a guy with the profile of Harper, and this I remember this happening, in 2 days after the season, they would have signed, you know, the free agency opens.
Certainly during the winter meetings, yes.
Now it is slower, and that, to Nigel's Boston fandom, J.D. Martinez
signed in
February.
Yeah.
I think the market has been softer, to Michael's point, for Harper than certainly Harper and Boris, but not necessarily that there's no market, just that it might be slower developing.
Philly's planning a meeting with Bryce Harper in Las Vegas sometime next week. To the National Football League, Mr. Tony, you wanted to talk about Antonio Brown.
Well, he's some MIA.
Yes.
He didn't show up for the walkthrough the day before their last game.
Yes, they'd apparently sent him.
He's problematic. Antonio Brown is problematic. Well, they're going to end up losing Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Wow.
They're going to lose them both.
Yep. Well, when asked, Mike Tomlin was asked about it.
He's angry.
Yeah, he's very angry. Would you rule out you making changes? He's like, no, we just had a disappointing season. Everything is on the table.
Antonio Brown released a statement in which he praised himself, his creativity, and his wholeness.
Resolve.
I don't know what wholeness means, but he praised all this. If I worked for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would say I can't stand this guy now.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers organization were smart, and they are.
They are smart.
They would deal this guy. He's going to be 31 when the season starts.
Yep.
He's a wide receiver. That's a position where they age quickly. I'm not saying he doesn't have a couple years
Antonio
ahead of him.
Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And you thought 3 years ago they are the most with Roethlisberger. Right, that's the most explosive offense in the league, or one of. Right. And now they're not going
to
have.
And just to be clear, before the Steeler fans come at me, I'm not saying he's done or doesn't help a team, but they should.
No, but
they should just get what
it appears to be broken at the moment, now with
right.
everybody.
Got anything else?
Well, yeah, two melancholy happy trails, Mr. Tony. Daryl Dragon, otherwise known as the captain and Tennille, passed away yesterday at the age of 76. With Tony Tennille at his side, even though they had divorced a few years before
Love Will Keep Us Together is their big hit.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't realize that they both played keyboards sort of facing each other. I saw some videos of that last night.
Like a Dante and piano type of deal.
Right, yeah. And also Melancholy Happy Trails to Bob Einstein, who many people know as Super Dave, and also from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Also
big Funkhauser.
Yeah. Passed away at the age of 76.
The brother of Albert 76. Brooks.
Brother of Albert Brooks.
One of the brothers of Albert Brooks.
Yes, and just one of the funniest, one of the funniest guys.
Funny. Ever. And willing to take, willing to hit his head into a wall at all times. Willing to do.
Sort of came up in the era of Evel Knievel, right? And it was sort of a spoof of
Super Dave. Yeah, it was a spoof of Evel Knievel.
I mean, that was a brilliant character.
It's great.
Super Dave was brilliant. I mean,
when they, in the Hangover 3, the only funny thing is when the giraffe gets beheaded. Well, that's a Super Dave sort of move. Smash your head into a wall while going 40 miles an hour.
Right.
All right, we will take a break. When we return, we have Old Guy Radio, yes?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. It's Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Sweet Judy, Blue Eyes. And why are we doing this? Because Stephen Stills, who does the lead on this song, Stephen Stills is 73 years old today. This song was written for and dedicated to Judy Collins, I believe.
Is that true?
I thought so.
I thought it was Judge Judy.
I don't think it's Judge Judy.
It's a multi-millionaire Judge Judy.
Apparently, no, you're
$40 million a year. Wow. Judge Judy makes $40 million a year.
I think it's actually more than that.
Goodell money.
Wow.
That's great.
Nigel King. You're right. He wrote this for Judy
John
Collins
Wall money.
As they were breaking up and went to her hotel room to play it for her.
And who was there with her?
Well, Stacey Keach wasn't in the room, but he was lurking about because that's who she left Stephen Stills for. And she was like, well, that's a beautiful song, but this is not going to work for us.
So the two, in the area of critical commentary, the two sort of, and I don't want to call them chanteuses because that would not be right. But the two women who gathered all of the attention were Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell. I mean, everybody was in love with Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell, right? Well, everybody
and
was.
Judy Collins, obviously Judy Blue Eyes, had these piercing blue eyes that you look at and you just fall into them. So
yeah,
I can understand why people.
Stephen Stills, do they still sing? Does he still do anything? He was sort of a porky guy at one point.
I think they do. I mean,
he had some weight on him, didn't he?
Yeah,
not Big Cat.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
think they still do stuff together. I know.
Built like a fire.
He also wrote For What It's Worth, which is one of the great songs.
But that was with Buffalo Springfield.
Buffalo Springfield.
It's one of the great songs of all time.
How big are we talking? Like three bills?
No, I've seen two.
250-ish.
Portly.
Stephen
not a tall dude.
He
really
looked solid. I mean, he looked, you know, and David Crosby as well looked sort
well,
of,
that's, yeah.
You know, solid.
So is like 270, 280.
Wow. Hurtful.
So should I mention my illness here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please, in detail.
Yeah,
people
I never.
Do another segment on the glasses.
Should I use really, those Purell wipes. I don't get sick very often, so when I get sick, it's bad.
Well, you never miss work.
And I called Matt Kelleher and I said, I can't go. I mean, I can go. I'm going too much.
That's the problem.
I'm going too much.
We so found out by turning on PTI, as
well,
we do before Bootsy's dinner, and then we had to quickly call the house to make sure everything was okay, because you were not Frank Isola.
I never do this. I never miss work, and I will not miss today. I called my doctor, Chris Duke, and I said, look, this is two nights and a day in a row of just running to the bathroom for one reason or another, and I didn't think it was food poisoning. Because I had eaten the same things that Carol had eaten, and Carol's digestive system is horrific. And this did not happen to her. So I don't know.
A bug?
I guess. I don't really know.
I think there is a bug going around. One of my sons has it.
So I'm used to taking Pepto-Bismol. And the Pepto-Bismol didn't help. And then we got, Michael suggested Imodium. And Imodium is over the counter. Got Imodium, called Chris Duke, and he said, yeah, take it, and that's worked better.
But you didn't take the correct dosage.
I took half the correct dosage. I was afraid, with all the Pepto-Bismol I had, I felt if I took two Imodium, I might just OD. Blow up.
Confuse the
I
guts.
Might blow up. Yeah, it might be some death in the family. So I didn't do that. Early this morning, I texted Chris, and he said, take one more. And I said, well, what can I or can't I eat? And he said, you have to have a BRAT diet, and that stood for bananas,
rice,
apples, and toast. And I said, I hate bananas. I'm okay with rice and toast. Can I have eggs? And he said, yes, you can have eggs. I said, what are the things you would say are poison? What's poison? And he said, pepperoni pizza and Starbucks.
Yeah.
Well, pepperoni pizza and Starbucks. So
there
I said, well, that's good. Chris drinks all the Starbucks. I don't.
Can you substitute an actual bratwurst for the bratwurst?
No, I was scared for that for a second. That's
very interesting.
Nothing but bratwurst. Was brat for several like a picky toddler.
Large so kielbasa.
Get a pack of Jack's Johnsonville's. Throw them on the grill.
So I like PTI. Not only do I like it, but at my age, you don't want to give them reason to believe he's a little too
right.
old.
Right.
And
old
what's
man
going on here?
Sir, he's too frail to you make know, the show.
Where's so Tony? Break a hip today? Yeah,
so I yeah. fell yeah. over.
So I'm going to try my best to get there today. I'm going to try that. By the way, the count is in. Did we talk about this yesterday on how much rain we had in Washington, D.C.?
Briefly, we discussed
it.
Yeah.
It is in the metro section.
The final today. Count for 2018?
It's the final count.
It's Jacoby Plus, right? Here we go. 66?
It was 66.28 inches of rain. It blew. The prior record was 61.33 in 1889.
Oh, yeah.
And this was 26 and a half inches above normal. 26 and a half inches above normal. And said that Baltimore was even higher. Baltimore higher than here.
High upside on that rain.
This puts us in league with New Orleans and Mobile, Alabama, wow. which are right on the Gulf and which you expect rain.
So
it's so much rain. Yeah. Did you say that 40 of the 52 Saturdays had rain?
Yeah,
and it's going to rain this Saturday.
Well, yeah, why
we're
not
stopping. Yeah. It's going to rain this Saturday.
Definitively then, the wettest year on record in terms of water.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah, well, in terms of water, sure. Right. Yes.
Okay, so I have Chris here, and before I get, should I talk about golf? I'll tell you one golf story. I got to play. I ended up playing with the Socialite a lot, four different times, and I played with Maury Povich three different times. Now, Maury is a great player.
Was he calling his coach like when you make a bad shot?
No, but there was one
Maury's
point.
Still playing to single digits?
Oh, low single digits. Oh, wow. My God, yes. Wow. Low single digits. So Maury...
Ordering new clubs mid-round?
No, no. Maury walks off by himself a lot. If Maury hits a shot, he just walks off. Like Alan says...
Like Beach at the next hole?
Yes,
walks off?
Yes. Okay. Alan
practice
says...
Practice swings on the edge of the tee.
Alan will say, I played 1,000 rounds with Maury all by myself, because Maury walks away. There was one point at one round where Maury's phone rings... And Maury, he's walking to the green. He's on the green in regulation. He just picks up the phone, and this is all you hear. Really? And he puts the phone down.
That's the best.
As if they know.
Won't even take the call. So we end up, we played a bunch of different courses. We played Boca Rio. We have a screaming child in the audience.
Yeah,
we have fantastic ambient noise of a screaming.
Not happy.
Not the baby Bootsy. This child does not want to be in chatter.
Can we get
maybe
a bowl of chili for that child?
Give her a gift card or something like that. So we played Emerald Dunes, which Maury and Alan belong to, which is really, really nice. It's right off the turnpike in West Palm on Okeechobee Road. It's beautiful, beautiful course. And we played Boca Rio. We played Medalist. I was really happy to play Medalist. That was a lot of fun.
Is that the Tiger Club Medalist?
Yes, Tiger's a member at Medalist. Tiger's a member at Medalist. And so the last day that I was there, I played with a couple of high school friends of mine who I normally play with in Delaware and upstate New York. And Michael Kerr belongs to this particular course called Del Air. I'd been in Florida a lot in my life.
I see what they did there.
It's the East Coast Bel Air.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Del Air. I'd never heard of it, okay? That night, after playing, I went to Alan's house to watch the football games. That was Saturday night. To watch the football games, and Maury and Connie are there. And I say, he said, well, where did you play today? Because he had played Seminole that day where he was 1 over through 15, which he described as the greatest round of his life. I mean, this is Michael, you want to explain how good that is?
When the wind blows at Seminole, hard to break 80.
It's, you know, I played in the wind at Seminole one day. I didn't get any pars. I was on in regulation up 4 or 5 times. I didn't get any pars. Wow. And that was a sustained 30-mile-an-hour wind. In any case, he's played that, and he says this. And I said, I played Del Air. These are his exact words. What about that buffet? Maury had played there enough to know that it's the greatest buffet in Florida. And indeed, before we played, my friend Michael Kerr said to me, save up, because this buffet is great. When we're done, you're going to love the buffet.
What'd you load up on?
I had an omelet.
Brisket?
No, I didn't have any brisket. I had the chicken salad. I had the Chinese food. I had the duck breast.
Shrimp?
Wow. I had a little bit of shrimp.
Yes.
I ate substantially, so I was happy. But Maury's immediate reaction was, how about the buffet?
Quick question. Who has a better life? And with the understanding they both have lives better than virtually everyone. Who has a better life, Maury or Alan?
I think Maury's life is fantastic.
Okay.
Maury doesn't work.
He just plays golf.
He just plays golf.
At private clubs.
And belongs to a bunch of them himself. And is a great player.
Right.
Like, that's the important thing. He's a great player. Maury is welcome everywhere and justifiably.
Yes.
We're in the furlough part. We're in the shutdown. And Chris is here and has to talk about this every day on CNN. How long does it go now?
Okay, so we're in day 13. The longest one in sort of modern memory is 95, and that went 21 days. That's the famous one, the Gingrich versus Clinton showdown, et cetera, et cetera. Clinton is seen it to have won it, quote unquote, and it helps him
get
reelected.
Does anybody really win?
No, and that, of course, is the truth. But in terms of political calculation, 800,000 workers are either out of work or working and not currently getting paid.
About that traffic? Am I right?
Nothing around here.
Nothing happens. Certainly this week. So Nancy Pelosi, by the time you hear this, will be sworn in as the next Speaker of the House. The rest of the week is largely just for show. They'll pass a few things that the Senate won't take up, et cetera, et cetera. So next week, I think, is when it will get down to it. And, you know, look, Nancy Pelosi told Savannah Guthrie on NBC this morning that there will be no money for the wall in any deal Democrats sign on to.
And not even the $1.9 billion that's out there
Trump,
now.
Trump has been adamant that he wants $5 billion for it. And, you know,
by the way, this wall affects the lives of maybe 3% of the people in America. Maybe.
Trump said yesterday that, this was a great quote. This is a slight tangent. He said, walls are 100% effective. And I was like, I know he says a lot of crazy things, but no one has ever breached a wall in history.
At the White House, they scale the wall.
Just seems like an
it's a fence.
Anyway, someone will have to give in. It will, but the issue here is there's not a lot of relationships. So in the past, when we had things like this, in the last 8 to 10 years, Joe Biden, the vice president, would cut a deal with Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader. They have known each other for a very long time. They're not obviously ideological allies, but they kind of trust one another, handshake deal. You know, Mike Pence went to meet with Chuck Schumer. They have no relationship. Trump has no relationships with anyone on Capitol Hill. You know, does Jared Kushner make a deal? You know, that's the problem. Who makes the deal here?
Monty Hall.
And if they do make the deal, if they do, you know, behind what's curtain number two?
Who's got a tomato in their pocket?
If they do make the deal, Trump could just go back. You know, I mean, it's Trump. Right. He could just be like, well, I liked it yesterday, but today it's a bad deal. I mean, so I think we will go beyond the 21 days. I think you could see this going
new
into potentially early February.
So let me ask a quick question, if I may, of Pelosi, who I don't particularly remember her last run as speaker, and given the current climate where the president changes his mind a lot, when she says, for instance, as she did recently and publicly, no money for the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, should we believe what she says, or is she, where is she on the scale of typical politician to President Trump in terms of flakiness with her statements?
Oh, I don't think she's, I mean, look, yes, she's,
I mean, she's negotiating.
She's,
I understand.
She's, right. But she's negotiating. She's a very traditional politician. In fact, in a way that has become less popular over time in that I think she's very good behind the scenes. We were talking about this off air, but you don't become the first female speaker, which she became after the 2006 election. You know, that's not an accident. And you don't then spend 12 years fighting, well, actually 8 years fighting to get back to the majority and do it without a significant challenge. She's going to be, I think, be voted speaker by acclamation, you know, no real challenge, on accident. I think that her view and Schumer's view is their base doesn't feel like there's any need to negotiate with Trump. The wall is unpopular. A majority of people oppose the idea of the wall working. And, you know, he's not terribly popular, so why do they need to? They want him to move more to them. I think she would negotiate, but they want him to come to them more than them come to him.
I mean, today, if you had to guess, is today the best deal he's going to see in terms of wall money?
No, I think it'll probably be a similar deal. My guess is they'll end up at like $2 or $2.5 billion.
Than Bryce Harper.
Well, he's got to wait for Machado to sign.
Like Harper and Machado, the market is softer than I think Trump expected.
So I have one other question. Mitt Romney is now a senator.
He is.
He was the standard bearer against Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. He was a very popular man among Republicans for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He's governor of Massachusetts and all of these things he's accomplished. He took out after Trump in an op-ed in the Washington Post the other day. Is that significant to the ebb and flow of Donald Trump?
No. I mean, look, if you think that a Washington Post, a strongly worded by Mitt Romney standards, you know, which is I've compared it to taking off the white gloves and slapping someone, you know what I mean? Like it's not like a punch below the belt.
Right.
A strongly worded op-ed in the Washington Post is going to get people, whether it's elected Republicans or the Republican base, who have thrown their lot in with Donald Trump for the past few years, they're going to be, well, he did say that Trump has given up the mantle of moral leadership. I mean, Donald Trump has displayed all of the qualities that Mitt Romney has accused him of over the past years repeatedly.
Right.
And yet, today is at a stronger place in terms of raw approval with his party than he was 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I just, you know.
So that's not.
Mitt Romney wanted to. I think Mitt Romney is a man of as much as you can be at that level of politics, a man of real conscience, who views Trump as something that is hugely problematic for the party and wanted to speak out about it. But in terms of does it change a bottom line in any, whether in the Senate or in the party more
that's
broadly?
What I was asking.
Is there an element of him, of it being Mitt Romney, though, saying, hey, you Republicans, that want to hate him, you can get behind me now?
Because
those guys are all
leaving.
Sure,
he's staking a claim, no question. Yeah. I mean, the thing
but
that
you
I,
think it's not going to have much effect.
I just don't think there are enough of them.
All right, let's get out
I mean,
here.
I just don't... Yeah. There's not a there is not a Republican Party that exists outside of Donald Trump. Not in any substantial way.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back with email and jingle.
That's right.
The baby has quieted. That's very, very nice. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
The soothing tones of Saliza.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Easy shade of winter.
Night, night, night. What has become of they are so hard to please. Get your Todd on the phone. Now he's gone. Reset the board to zero. It's really your fault, my friend. Gary has mean things to say. Liza says it's not okay. And Tony pretends that it won't happen again. There's no sound. Tony frowns.
The lyrics are by Mike Siegfried in Shikshini, Pennsylvania. And of course, it's Joe Arrow.
Yes.
Ellicott City doing the vocals. That's fabulous. That's great.
Very good.
Well, let me thank Meet the Press host Chuck Todd for coming on with us today. Tomorrow, I think Jeff Ma.
Yes, Jeff will be
here. And maybe Carville if he wants.
Yes.
I'd also like to thank today's sponsors, Lowe's and Quip. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave a review. And let me get to these other things now.
Positive.
This
review.
Is from Carla Corrado, now in Columbus, Ohio. When positioning toilet paper on an Emmy Award statue in the powder room, does the roll rotate clockwise or counterclockwise? Just asking for a friend, Chuck Todd. From Tony Herrera, last Saturday, I took the one to whom I'm related by marriage to a college football playoff party, and we bought several squares in a squares pool. Given the chatter is positioning itself to be a sports book, I'm sure you know what a squares pool is. Anyway, we left during the third quarter of the Alabama game, returning home to find that one of our squares was the winner of the third quarter.
Boom.
It was only after celebrating that we learned upon our departure from the party, the administrator of the squares pool resold our squares,
what?
Adding the additional contribution to the prize pool and gave the third quarter winnings to the new owner of the square. Who does this?
Can't do that.
No, that's
there was no announced requirement of having to be present
scheme.
To win. Legally, morally, and ethically, those squares were ours the moment we penned our names on them and made the requisite contribution. I repeat, who does this? Have you ever heard of such a thing? How would you react had this happened to you? And since the pool administrator and I, plus the guy who bought the winning square, are all in the same golf group, what should I do? By the way, not only is the administrator a poor human being, he's an equally poor golfer. Anxiously awaiting your response. No,
yeah, that's terrible
you
etiquette.
You can't do that.
Monster.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
No,
Tony won it. He won it.
Yeah, give him
and
the money.
And he's got to get the money, and he has to beat it out of the guy who was running, not the guy who's got the money now, because that guy walked in and didn't know.
Yeah.
No, it's the administrator, absolutely. From Trace Hendrick in Saginaw, Michigan. It took me so long to hitchhike from Saginaw. My father spent his Christmas out in Denver with my sister, who's getting married this summer. She showed him the church where she's going to get married, and then the reception is at an outdoor park, a short walk from the church. He described it to me by saying to picture the reception from The Godfather. I was hoping you could recommend how much money to throw down after I break the photographer's camera. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen.
Just a couple of 20s.
Throw down a 20 and then start with fives because you don't want to deplete yourself too much. From A. Benson, I guess. It doesn't say who this is from. The woman related to me by marriage keeps a journal not just for herself but for our one-year-old son. She writes down each day what he does. Since he's one, it's mostly nap, eat, poop, and cry. P.S. It's great to hear Jeannie on the podcast again. So,
can I echo that? I love Jeannie. My favorite room is Jeannie and Gary.
Agreed. From Billy Crist from Austin, Texas. The Cotton Bowl Stadium is outside. Jerry World has a roof. The annual Red River rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma is still played in the Cotton Bowl Stadium every year, just like the Orange Bowl is played at Joe Robbie or Hard Rock Stadium, not Orange Bowl Stadium. Not that you should be expected to know the status of every stadium ever built. Thank you, Billy. From Todd in Richmond, Virginia. I enjoyed your description of the Bearcat Country T-shirt as having a silhouette of New York State and Long Island. I wonder if the Wolverine Country T-shirt has an image of Michigan and the Upper Peninsula, or the Gator Country T-shirt has an image of Florida and the Keys. I will hang up and listen. you know, I understand that Long Island is part of New York, but I guess I was wrong. I'll just say I was wrong. I gave the T-shirt away today.
So or, gave it away. Or, game or on. Alternative, you were right.
Yeah, P.S. Don't read my that. Name on the air. Because yeah, my right. brother Joel, who took me to Chatter right. last fall, will be jealous beyond belief.
Hey, we may never know if you were right or wrong.
Yeah, many Let's people, just, many yeah. people are saying.
From Steve the Sycophant, the first uplifting statement of 2019, dear Toby, was your airplanes are built to fly. And I thought they were just big aluminum tubes built to encase people in seats that give you leg cramps, giving you food that would be rejected by a grade Z diner, and severely rationing the times you can go to the bathroom. Plus, you're always seated next to some old bald guy zonked out on Xanax and five scotches who screams we're doomed every time there's a slight air bump. I will admit, though, it beats driving on I-95 to Florida. Jeff in Dallas, college bowl games have become the hallmark movies of football. They're overabundant and formulaic, yet we find ourselves watching one after another, pretending that we have some emotional investment in the outcomes. Right sock, right shoe, left sock, left shoe, because I'm sitting down, so I only have to cross each leg over once. Eat it, Saliza. Hmm. From Mike Rubenstein in East Greenbush, New York, a huge Dr. Pepper fan from Long Island, Garden City South, H. Frank Carey alum. Shout out H. Frank Carey. I can tell you it was invented by a drugstore in Waco, Texas, by a New York pharmacist. How you may ask that I come across such useless information by going into the Dr. Pepper Museum, located at said drugstore in Waco. Was driving by Waco, saw a billboard for it, and had to stop in. By the way, Dr. Pepper isn't owned by either Coke or Pepsi, but it is bottled by one or the other around the country. I always look forward to the pod and was suffering from withdrawal while you were on vacation. Thank you for that. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
This book is devastating.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Little white bird, high up in the tree. Wings full grown, but still not ready to leave. Never straying far from home, no, never been that free. Little white bird, won't you come and fly with me? Little white bird, staring at the sun. Always been afraid of being outdone. Well, the blackbirds down below are having so much fun. Little white bird, oh, you don't have to run. And all it takes is one little leap of faith. It's a sure fall down, it ain't that great. Little white bird, there's more to this. Don't let chance be something you dismiss. So say goodbye to mama and have something to reminisce. Home won't be too far if you ever miss. Little white bird, please look on down. This old gray bird is from across town. But do you want to turn those white feathers, oh, into a wedding gown? And let the weight of the world bring you to the ground. And all it takes is one little leap. You just sure fall down, it ain't that steep. Oh no, little white birdie, it's time to fly. Let's soar past the sun, painting it high in the sky. White bird, high up in the tree. Wings full grown, but still not ready to leave. Never straying far from home, no, never been that free. Little white bird, won't you come and fly with me? Little white bird, won't you come and fly with me? Little white bird, won't you come and fly with me?